Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with
Anthony Sinandres.
Yes. So today we're talking about Gotham episodes 6 and 7, Gotham from 2 weeks ago. If you're listening to this live, hello everyone listening live, Gotham from 2 weeks ago and Gotham from this last Monday. And oh boy.
It was quite possibly my two favorites from the season so far.
I would argue that at least one of these, and I don't know which, is the best episode of the season thus far. I just don't know which. That's kind of hard to choose.
It really is.
Yeah. Before we move on, I'd like to mention, if any of you want to call in while we're talking about a specific episode, so right now we're focusing on 6. On the half-hour point, we should be jumping to 7 for a bit, but we'll see how that works, you know, since we're doing this live. If you want to call in and talk to us, the number is 718-664-9468, the number being 718-664-9468. Or if you want to call in to listen in because you can't use your computer for some reason, I mean, many different reasons why you wouldn't be able to access your internet or your computer, et cetera, you know, you can call in just to listen in. The number, again, being 718-664-9468. And if you don't press 1, then you'll just be there listening, and we won't get a notification that you want to speak, and we'll leave you on there just to listen. So, yeah.
Technology,
right? But, oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, these two episodes, I would argue, if you edited them together, I mean, you know, they could have become a movie. And I know it would have been hard with pacing and everything, but still, I feel like it could have became a movie concept, where it's just, how about... Like, you know, it's something I think, maybe not even a Hollywood thing, but definitely, you know, something someone like you or I would be like, what if this happened? Right? Like, what if, and then this, and then that? How would that work? And it would just be this, you know, these last two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh my God, I want to make words. I have notes, but I feel like discarding them just to say, oh my God, over and over and over again.
I mean, there really is no better choice of words.
Yes, but and what's really funny is when I looked at episode seven, even though we're not there just yet, but when I saw episode 7, you couldn't convince me that it wasn't a season finale.
Mm.
I just want to put that out there.
But, I honestly did feel like, is this mid-season finale? Like, even you asked me, like,
yeah.
Is there going to be a break? I'm like, I should probably check because it feels like there's going to be.
Yes, we'll get to that when we get to 7, but because as of right now, we have something major to talk about. The Goat Man, which aired October 27th, right before Halloween, which was nice, because it kind of just had that nice Halloween feel to it. I only saw it after Halloween, but still, you know, if you're in New York in these fall months, you know, you really like the dark and the dreary, even if it's a bit after Halloween. So seeing, you know, the spirit of the goat with the goat man and everything, it was very interesting. And I think that it's the perfect mix of a comic book and TV series. This is where I want Gotham to be all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Balloon Man is fun, but it's just, this is where I want Gotham to be, like, all of the time. Where it's just, you know, not exactly this particular story, but the idea of, hey, look, you know, I'm a little bit unhinged, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I want to be quirky. Because I'm a little bit unhinged, right? That, perfect. Or of course, you know, another thing, the idea of, you know, people manipulating things from the shadows with their vast intellect, right, is another great thing that I see in, you know, in Gotham a lot, where not everyone has to be crazy in the way you think of the two men that were mentally ill who donned the spirit of the goat. No, someone like Oswald Cobblepot, you know, the Penguin, someone like the woman who is the therapist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that are also, you know, people that I love seeing in Gotham more than, I hate to keep on using this example, the Balloon Man. I hate to use that example because it's not the worst thing in the world. It's just, it's something that I didn't really think fit Gotham.
Or at least this early on, I feel.
Yeah, at least this early on, or at least this edition of Gotham, where if you told me, yeah, this is literally like 1960s Gotham, I'd be like, Balloon Man, of course.
Mm.
Right? So if you told me this was an adaptation, right, an adaptation of the Adam West Batman, but years prior to that even, before he was Adam West Batman, I'd be like, I accept Balloon Man and everything that follows. I truly accept Balloon Man. But, you know, but where we are right now in Gotham, yeah, it didn't really fit so much.
Mm.
But Spirit of the Goat.
Yeah.
So how do you feel?
I loved it. It was interesting because before I saw the episode, I read a synopsis online that was really poorly done. Gordon and Bullock will attempt to find out the mystery behind the man that is the Spirit of the Goat. And I was like, this is another, it's going to be Balloon Man. And I watched the episode and oh my God.
Yeah,
it was just
right?
Like, it was unbelievable. And there was just so much good in this episode. Like, I can't even think of anything negative to say about it, to be honest with you. But I think probably the highlight for me was the way they depicted Bullock in this episode.
Yes, most definitely. I think that many things that he did in this episode really made me rethink I don't want to call it a genre, but the cliche, I guess, in detective and in cop shows, where it's just, we got a copycat killer on our hands. You know, that aspect where it's been done so many times, and I feel like most of the times that I've seen it, it's done in a way where, you know, it's like, damn, you know, killing more people, and I can't believe this, you know, but we killed him last time, you know, what's going, like, it's always the same kind of shtick that I think with what Bullock said this time, it really hit me, where he said, I solved this, right,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, some, they might think of it a bit more like, oh, well, you know, I mean, you know, like, that sounds a bit, I don't say arrogant, but, you know, very selfish. Like, oh, he's... No, but it's the idea that you worked so hard and you did it. Like, the case was solved. The person died. Everything has been wrapped up. Why is this happening again? And I can really kind of take, you know, I can... While I am not a police officer, I can really, I think, connect with that. The idea of you did something. Like, you did this. In a way, it's like, you know, it was done. Right? Where for other shows, for some reason, it feels like movies, it feels like, damn, not this again. We got to deal with this again. Oh, you know, where this time it was just, no, you misunderstand. You know, now, and also the fact that he was killed. I mean, he died.
Exactly.
And it was just, you sit there, and you know, and of course, you know, you're led to believe in a way, right? Which is nice that it wasn't really thrown in your face, but it was kind of a little subtle. Was, you know, is there a legend of the goat? Spirit. Is there a spirit of the goat? Is this, you know, is this, what is it? What am I thinking of? The Spirit? The popular comic book that was adapted to The Spirit of the Goat? What is this? So, you know, you really sat there and you were wondering kind of what was going on for a bit, because while most of us who just, you know, enjoy Batman, you know, we're like, oh, nothing supernatural. Supernatural things can appear, but Batman is very much grounded detective work. But that does not mean that, you know, there isn't an extended universe out there with people like Superman and et cetera, et cetera. So you could sit there and think, but maybe, right, there is a chance that there could be a little bit of this. I mean, you also have The Flash. I know airing on different networks, but you have The Flash. You have, you know, just a bunch of other stuff that connects. So for a bit there, they could have made you think, yeah, nah, Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But no. It was actually the butler. Come out here, Alfred, you murdering bastard. The butler did it. Except that the butler didn't do it. The therapist did it, but that one isn't as catchy. The rapist did it. That one. By the way, I don't say that to make light of rape. I say that because for some reason they had Bullock quote Sean Connery from, you know, quote unquote Sean Connery. From Saturday Night Live. Which, I mean, that's where I heard the joke. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I just love the fact that they put that in the same scene, where it's like he goes from saying that to immediately solving the case in 2 seconds.
Yes.
He's like, it's a funny word, therapist. It can mean therapist, the rapist. By the way, I figured out that you're the killer.
Yeah, just, and by the way, another, you know, another joke. Not so much a joke, you're actually a murderer. Something very interesting. I'm surprised that she went with it.
Mm-hmm.
by the way.
I mean, I guess she was just kind of under the idea that she had the guy hypnotized to kill Bullock in the worst-case scenario.
I guess, and then I guess she got shot, and I was like, this wasn't supposed to happen. You know, I guess. But speaking of, as you mentioned about Bullock, jumping back to that, I really enjoy everything they did with Bullock in this episode, because at first, you know, I mentioned the damn not this, you know, the idea of I solved this. How is this my work? You know, I mean, we're, you know, we put into this, but then also seeing how he treats his old partner.
Yeah, I was hoping you were going to bring that up.
And his old, and how his old partner looks at him, where it's just, be careful, sir. That guy is always jumping in thinking that he's the great, you know, thinking that he's the hero. And you sit there and you think, you know, you were completely with Gordon and thinking that's not how Bullock is at all.
Yeah, exactly. And then I loved how they actually panned down to the hallway and showed Bullock talking to the nurse, saying, like, you know, you can just forward me the medical bill whenever and make sure he's still getting those magazines that I order for him.
I love the magazine thing because she goes, those are not good magazines. But is he getting them? And also the idea that, and they're, you know, which is strange that they're addressing this, by the way, because they said that it was 10 years ago, but apparently they're trying to say that the fall put him into a wheelchair. So were they saying that he was working in a wheelchair for the next 9 years? Or are they saying that it just
really understand?
Yeah, that's what kind of and if any of you have a better light on the subject, again, the number is 718-664-9468. Definitely call in and school us. But as of right now, we're going with the impression that it just felt strange because, you know, again, there was like, oh, yeah, it was basically implying, oh, that's, you know, I put you in that wheelchair. And you assume that it was the fact that he fell through the thing. But that was 10 years ago. And only recently did they say that he needed a new partner. Either way, what matters is that Bullock is a very nice guy, and clearly things like that changed him.
Clearly.
He actually,
because, I mean, one of the immediate thing that I picked up that I thought after seeing that flashback in the beginning of the episode was like, what the hell caused him to shift that much in 10 years?
You know, it's the fact that I assume anyway, because we're working on, you know, just assumptions right now at this point in the story. It's, you know, not only someone, you know, like first off, having his partner be that way just makes him, you know, and of course, that phrase being his partners, where it's just, you know, what's the first rule of Gotham? You know, don't be a hero. You know, Gotham has no heroes. And it's like, shit, you know, that will change you. So, you know, and also the idea that, I mean, you look at organized crime, and of course, it's been around for a while. Falcone isn't new, you know, but the idea of they just got to him. And also, another strange thing is you look at Bullock, right? And as of right now, right, according to what we've seen, I mean, I don't remember comic book lore because I don't remember Bullock that well personally, other than the fact that I love him. But Bullock has no family.
Yeah, as far as I know, he doesn't.
And that could be directly tied into the fact that if he has to get hurt, it's only him getting hurt. In a way, that itself is heroic. Because he could have had a wife and kids, you know, but he doesn't have one.
Exactly.
He doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have kids. He doesn't, you know, he apparently, because if he, even though he does care about himself, obviously, but still, at the end of the day, if he has to take a bullet, it's only him. It's not, you know, like with when you look at Gordon and you look at Barbara, that's someone else Gordon has to depend on. Where with Harvey, it's just himself.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, so either way, I'm really enjoying what they were doing with Harvey, showing that he does have a heart. It's just the idea that he also does want to live. You know, he wants to possibly make some more money if he can. But honestly, I don't even think it's about the money for him right now, because they never really show a situation where it's just, hey, Harvey, I'll give you this much to look the other way. No, it's just the idea of, hey, Gordon, you want to live here? Look the other way. Hey, Gordon, you want to live another day? You want to not eat through a straw? All right, look the other way. Come on, come over here. Oh, hey, we have a little errand to run. It's nothing major. We have to kill someone. But hey, guess what, Gordon? You want to live? Perfect. Look the other way. Kill that guy. You know, it's just about his life, but it isn't really about the money, about pursuit of power. It's just, if you want to survive, this is what you do. And at first, he may have been different. You know, but even if he wasn't different, you know, it also shows the contrast between him and Gordon, but then also makes us think, will that be Gordon one day? Now, we know it's not. But for any viewers, you know, it makes you think, wow, will Gordon be that way one day? Will this town break Gordon?
It won't, but
we know it won't, but it's still a very interesting thought where it's just, will they have Gordon turn to the dark side in season two and then not be dark in season three? Will that happen?
Will Gordon die and come back to life? I mean, it's comic book, but no, he won't.
He could. Have they ever outwardly stated Gordon did not die once?
Yeah, they did.
Really?
I believe so, yeah.
And I mean, what I'm saying is, has Gordon ever said, yes, I've lived all these years without dying? Has he ever asked if he died?
It's not a direct, thing. It's more of like he's made a joke, well, I haven't died yet.
Damn it, that is true. But he could be lying.
Possibly.
Gordon is lying for humor's sake. Gordon is actually the Joker. The rumors were wrong.
Oh.
Penguin isn't the Joker. Gordon is.
The ultimate plot twist.
The ultimate plot twist. Joker, just the ultimate plot twist, where it's just like, Gordon is actually the Joker. And then because of what the Penguin did, he feels bad. So he changes his name to Jim Gordon. Barbara's just fine with it. Barbara's like, whoever's named Jim Gordon, I'll take it. And then the Penguin, that's actually Alfred. This is what happens when you go to other universes, children. Please, just watch your movies. Don't read comic books. I would do something like that. I'm an idiot. I hate this because it's not even... You know what's terrible? I wanted to make this a joke, but no one thinks it's funny because it's plausible.
It really
not in the show.
That is part of this whole thing.
Yeah, no, not in the show necessarily, but just the idea of this could happen in a different comic book universe. Completely plausible. Nobody's laughing.
It's even worse considering DC is doing an event soon that involves other universes.
Yeah, it's really, really something. So
right now, our
phones
are just wired. Like, that's a great idea. Let's do that.
Yeah, right? That's wonderful. Yeah. If we had any callers from DC... It would be terrible. If we actually had any callers from D.C. just sitting there just listening, or any listeners from D.C. just nodding, we would just have to change our thing just completely and only talk about the show. No jokes about the comics at all. For fear. For huge fear that they would have something like this. But anyway. Overall, just getting back to this actual episode, I think Nygma can be slightly adorable. And
Nygma,
I enjoy...
He's adorable, and he's so quirky.
Yeah, he's so socially awkward, but what's interesting is I can see that with his character, as in I can see an interpretation that he is that way. I wouldn't have made him that way, but I can see why he would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know, something about him seems a bit smoother, but I can still see why he would be this socially awkward, especially at this age, if you want to make him early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I feel like evil just makes everyone a lot more, unless you're a low-level grunt and you're a bumbling idiot, I feel like evil just smoothens everyone out.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just, you know, right now he's just like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry that was off, I'm so sorry. And he, you know, but being evil is just, but that was my plan all along. Riddle me this or riddle me that. How do you think your filing system is? That's not a riddle, Nygma. I make the riddles!
Let me sniff your hair.
Yeah, exactly. Just riddle me this, riddle me that. You're just sniffing my hair, Nygma. Shut up, I make the riddles! And you answer them! All of you will answer them! Like, I feel like just being evil kind of smoothens you out and makes you very angry and volatile. But in this case, it's just, you know, it's just... he seems like he just has these again, socially awkward quirks.
Mm-hmm.
So... But again, I can see him with it in this universe. Not saying I enjoy it, but I can see why he would have them. And it's kind of funny how he only realized it later. It's like as if, you know, it's like a little late to the party. He's like, this may have been wrong. I see that now. after fixing, quote-unquote, fixing your filing system halfway, I can see now why that would be a problem. You have a nice day, madam.
So I'm just going to leave everything on the floor, and I'm going
yes.
to go.
And trip over it. You have a nice day, madam.
Speaking of quirky, I think we need to just delve into the penguin and his mother for a little bit.
Oh, penguin and his mother. Okay, so, it makes so much sense in a way where, at least in this case, in the way they're, you know, making Penguin in the show, which I can see as what a young Penguin would be, it would make so much sense that his mother would be the only one who, you know, because I know Penguin is kind of built up as a bit of a loner, but at the same time, he is a loner at in other social places where you don't want to be alone. Where, you know, I mean, I know maybe the grass is greener where some people go, yeah, well, I never had parents and I wanted them. I still think that the grass is greener because you may have not wanted a mother or a father like Penguin's mother because it's just too much. Where it's just the point where it's just, you know, it's not even someone saying, oh, they're smothering me. No, no, no. It's no one will ever love you. No one will ever, you trust no one like you trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Not even like that, actually. It's just you trust no one in general. And it's just like, wow, like you live with someone like that all your life. Not only are you going to feel that way, but then you're going to feel like you do want out because it's just, and then when you want a bit of out, just a bit, I mean, Penguin is at least in his 20s, I would say.
Easily.
Yeah, easily. I mean, maybe if you want to say, oh, he's only 18, it's like, no, actually, I understand if Penguin's a bit more in his 20s because, you know, 10, 20 years, yeah, he's a bit older. Like, I'd rather him be in his late 20s, honestly. And also it adds to the creep factor where it's just, you want to leave. You're in your mid-20s, and you're like, well, I want to leave the house. And it's just, no, but you can't. And every parent does feel that to a certain degree. But to the point where it's just, it's because you're off with some hussy, some harlot, some painted hussy. It's like, what if you really, you know, I mean, yeah, Penguin isn't doing that. But if he really loved a woman, it would be horrifying if it's just, you know, oh, you're just going to go off with some woman and leave your mother alone.
Exactly.
You know, like, it's just these tactics and all this stuff that she has. It's just, you know, she is the villain. She is the true villain.
She's like, mother, I made a good, true friend. He's a cop. Are you doing anything illegal? No, just delivering cannolis, mother.
That was also great. Just, I decided I didn't catch that for some reason. I don't know why I didn't hear him properly, but when you said that,
oh,
I was
no,
like,
he
oh,
didn't,
God, he did say
actually,
that.
He never said he was delivering cannolis. That was just, I added that.
Oh, thank you, because he said
yeah,
something
no, no, no.
that I didn't hear. No, he said
that,
something
yeah,
I didn't
hear. Yeah, I didn't
hear
either. I rewinded
I thought,
it like 2 or 3 times. I still can't make it out.
Okay, and I thought he said, because he would say that. Because the asshole that is the Penguin would say, I'm just delivering cannolis, mother. Deadly cannolis of death. Zaz, why are you in my bathtub again? Sorry. My bad. I'll see myself.
Is this the hussy you were with, Oswald?
No. I'd rather just... Bye, Mrs. O. Bye, dear. But seriously, I just, you know, yeah, with the Penguin. Oh, boy. I mean, he's also my favorite character currently on the show. But it's just crazy how, you know, his mom basically made a villain. Where if his mom could run Gotham, arguably.
Yeah.
I believe his mom could run Gotham. Like, I believe it's just, and by accident, too. It's just, you know, everyone's just thinking there. She's like, we gave her the Falcone. You know, it's like, Falcone, why did you give my mother the position? I'm sorry. She guilted it out of me. Like, she's just sat there. She goes, but I mean, come on, why am I not running Gotham? Whoa, what's the problem with me? Nothing, nothing. You know what it is? You don't love me. No, of course we do, Mrs. O. No, of course we love you. He's like, so you're just going to run off with that hussy? No, 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 no. I don't care about immediately Falcone breaks up with the girl that Fish Moody put there.
Falcone, he's like, Falcone, how the hell did this happen? You know, I don't even know.
Yeah. And what did Fish do? She tried to kill her, but then put the knife to herself, feeling very inadequate in her life. Because how long did it take Oswald's mom to do it? About 5 minutes.
She just mentioned the word hussy a lot of times, and it just happened.
It just happened. She just felt so inadequate. Fish Mooney, oh, my God. We should stop right now. We should actually... Well, because it's weird. We're getting so off topic, I think, because we can't sit here and say bad things about the episode. And, you know, you guys saw the episode. And you guys, I'm assuming, liked it too. Because no one has called in 718-664-9468. No one has called in to say, we hated it. So I'm going to assume that everyone loved it. That no one hated it. And the only bad thing, actually, that I really want to pick up on, maybe before we move on to the next episode, is that I think it was bad that we didn't see a lot of Fish Mooney and a lot of Falcone in the episode. Maybe you could say that it was because we were going to see so much of them next episode that they were trying to get them out of your mind, or that they were trying to do the what some could consider the comic book filler tactic, which is just you don't really have some of the key players in there. So that, you know, you kind of see them a bit later and it kind of hits you more because they really had more to do in that episode, in episode 7. But in 6, we barely saw, I don't think we saw them at all in 6, which was really kind of shocking when you thought about it.
Yeah, because, we didn't see them at all. And it's weird because I don't, I can't really say it's a bad thing. I see it more as like a weird thing because I, in a way, I'm glad we didn't see them because we did see them a lot in the past 2 or 3 episodes. Especially the Arkham episode, we saw them a lot going over the land feud. So in a way, it was nice to kind of just take a break from them, focus. It was a very Bullock-centered episode, in my opinion. And I think that
and
was
of course,
a really good thing to do, especially since the episodes have gone from 16 to like 22 episodes for the season. So I can get that.
Yes.
So I don't think it was bad, just a bit weird.
Well, I think it was weird because it was already filmed in advance, and I think that they were possibly planning on doing something a bit different with these episodes if they were meant to be only 16 episodes. But we'll get to that in a second. But anyway, so yeah, I found, of course, Bullock-centered episode is amazing because it really worked, and it made you kind of think a bit differently about Bullock if you don't know him from the comic books. And if you do know him from the comic books, you can go, perfect, that's the Bullock that I know and love and that we'll get to see eventually. So anyway... but, of course, still, the problem that I found with not having them in this episode, I think, was more so that it really made me sit there and think, why is Gordon just allowed to do other things? When we have Cobblepot out here, we have this coming over here and this over there. And I think that they really, you know, but the good thing about this episode, though, was that they were building up to a possible arrest of James Gordon, which culminated at the episode, which I think really did matter, like, a lot, you know. And another person that we didn't see that I think was a bit of an issue until we saw her for 5 seconds was Selena Kyle.
Yeah, she has.
And then when we, and then when we did see her, it was absolutely frightening. Not for frightening in a way of not of you know like she's scary because she isn't scary at all. It's scary that yes, this is pre-Batcave, you know, Bruce Wayne Manor, but at the Wayne Manor. Gotta amp up security just a bit, because if the Spirit of the Goat wanted to kill Bruce Wayne, he would have.
Easily.
So that's all I'll say. You know, and of course, you know, boo to you, Alfred, who you just immediately took the word of a child, which just, who would he take me away from?
Jolly good, sir. Leave all the doors open. Who gives a flippity flan?
That's totally how they speak in Britain. It's not how they speak in Britain. But still, it's just... You know, although I will admit, I was happy with Bruce solving the case before the police. I thought that would have been brilliant. Just Bullock goes, and I got this because a little child thought about it first. Do you understand that? The therapist is immediately very saddened. Be like, children are getting this before you. You know, children found out your scheme was nothing. But, you know, and of course, you know, Jim and Barbara made up, which was nice. But another thing that really makes you think, oh, this episode was planned out in a 16-episode series or something, because shorter than a 22-episode or 23-episode series. But yes, so before we move on, I love the therapist. I really did. I loved her character a lot because I love the idea of her. You know, just like there are still people in Gotham who aren't just killing. They're a bit more like Edward Digma will one day be. You know, a bit more like Cobblepot will one day be. Just these, you know, these thinkers. And but anyway, the shot of Cobblepot standing there and Harvey losing it is a brilliant shot.
Oh, that was I love the camera angle, too, how it just immediately angled in right in between Gordon Harvey with Penguin straight in the middle.
It was just done so well. And it's the reason why I recommend this show to all of my friends, even to ones that don't watch Gotham. My mother watches this, and I had to explain to her that it was Batman. She just enjoyed it so much that I had to look at her and be like, Bruce Wayne is Batman, mother. That's Batman's story. When there, she was like, oh, okay. Like, it was really funny. Because for many people out there, not I don't think a lot, but for still many people out there, it's just the idea of, you know, it's like, oh, that young boy, his parents died by getting shot. Ooh, it's a crime drama. Gotham. Any place could be called Gotham. Then she's in there, it's Batman! It's freaking Batman!
Any city could have a cop named Gordon and Bullock.
Yeah. And it's true. Any city can have people named Penguin. Anyway.
His name is Victor Zsasz. That's a good Christian name, that is.
Moving on! Right. To episode 7. This episode really reeked of mid-season finale. I would argue season finale, honestly. And I think that the episodes have been pushed together because, according to you, there's no break. So the episodes have been pushed together because of the fact that maybe they're currently filming. Or did they start filming the new episodes yet?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything on it yet. I feel like they had to have at least started pre-production at least.
Yeah, I assume that much because they could have just been told, hey, everyone, get this done quick. We got to get this done quick. And, you know, maybe episode 16 will be the break. But it's still, or if they were going to do 2-season breaks, because, I mean, 16 episodes, and this is going to be 7 so far, they could have done something strange like that. You know, maybe there could be another break that they're planning, or it could just be awkward, where they do one break and we sit there and go, that wasn't a break-worthy episode, because it wasn't meant to.
Exactly.
You know, there's a lot of things they could end up doing. But as of right now, this was just season finale level, and it was just brilliant, because everything about this episode made me happy. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm trying to look through my notes again to see. There was just nothing that I hated about this episode through my notes. Anything you disliked? Not hated, but
not a single thing. Not a single thing I disliked.
I'm happy to hear it. I'm really happy to hear it.
I was just going to say the question I would ask in place of that. What was your favorite scene from this episode?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I was going to say that's a hardy, but that's a weird sentence. It might be the fact that Bullock had a hooker, or would look like a prostitute. I'm not saying that she wasn't a prostitute, but I'm saying that. Actually, you know what? She didn't have to be a prostitute. I feel wrong, but I think they were implying that it was a prostitute with how fast he found her.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, she was beautiful, though. Like, she was seriously beautiful. But anyway, so, yeah, I think that was my favorite scene, and I only say that because you sit there, and you really relate to Bullock in certain ways, where I sat there and I thought, you know, I have to admit, I would have sex before I died if I knew I was going to die. Because Bullock does not see this the way Gordon does. He feels like he will help Gordon, but only because he literally has nothing else to lose. So he's sitting there thinking, I'm going to drink, I'm going to have sex, and then I will die. Like, that's what's going to happen. He doesn't even know how. He's just like, the second we leave this apartment, we're going to get shot. We will die. You know, that's just how this is going to go. And it was just so much good. My question to you, I can't believe I almost forgot this. The situation where Gordon breaks up the, you know, he ends up saving Barbara. That was 6, wasn't it? Or was that 7?
When he saves Barbara from Falcone?
No, when he saves Barbara from Mooney's men.
Oh, that was 6, yeah.
Darn, I can't believe we skipped over that. All I want to say is that made me giddy as hell. And I'm very happy that they were able to show Gordon, you know, kick some ass because he was going to put the gun down for a second. And I was just like, you know what? No. Like, I will take you guys out as soon as I can. But anyway, moving back to 7, you know, we had Zsasz appear. And Zsasz is just glorious. I mean, and it's a huge thing, by the way, to have Zsasz. You know, like, I mean, it's just... Oh man, I can't even think about, like, I'm sitting here just thinking of Zaz. And if you don't, if any of you out there maybe don't know Zaz, because he's not like the biggest character in the world. He is a serial killer, right? A serial killer who cuts his the number of his victims into his own body. And by the time that we see him in the Batman universe, he's already cut people onto his face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is where he's gone, where he'll sit there and he'll remark and he'll go, you know, I'm having second doubts about killing you because I'm wondering how much room is there in my body. That is Victor Zaz.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that this is him first starting out, which is really nice too, because he looks like he's very, very, very young, which means he can be a serial killer for the next 15 years, you know, at least. You know, it's very interesting, I think, to just have Zaz be the hitman, because it also brings up a very nice question of, you know, when Falcone said, oh, you know, anarchy is worse than this, it makes you think, if the establishment, you know, if the mob is broken up, what will happen to Zaz? You know, well, rather, you know, he'll become a serial killer, but will it become more frequent? Like, is this basically their way of saying, we only give you hits right now? We'll pay you for it, because, hey, if you do something good, don't do it for free. So you get paid for it, but at the same time, it is, you know, he's technically kept on a leash. But if Zaz was just unleashed,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's crazy, because
it's almost like an odd parallel to Dexter in the way that he had the dark passenger controlling who he'd kill. If he didn't have that, he'd be killing everyone in Miami.
Exactly. You know, as of right now, anyway, he has a leash, where in the future, you definitely know that he's just his own man. He has an insatiable lust for blood. And, you know, he will do it to feel satisfaction, as many do, so he won't just be doing it all, you know, like every single minute of the day, let's say. But if you have your entire body covered up in these marks, you're doing it a lot. I'll say that much. You're killing a lot of people there. Even if you're in jail for a bit, because you could argue, maybe sometime in this series he'll be put in jail. But he doesn't always stay in jail, but that could be there for like a year or two or three to say that, okay, he wasn't killing all the 10 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But still, I do believe that, because he's a character that I can believe being there, and I think has been stated in comic lore that he has been there before Batman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I wrong?
He has been there.
Okay, yeah. So he didn't just appear as Batman appeared. Not every villain, many did, but not every villain just appeared. And you can really see their beginnings here and really, for some of them, make sense of it. You'll get Enigma and you're like, okay, maybe you're a bit too old, actually. You look at Penguin, perfect. Thankfully, there's been no Joker yet, unless you look at the rumors that Penguin is Joker, which we here at Those Guys disagree with them completely. So, you know, there is no Joker. We did not get an Ivy. We got a little girl named Ivy, but we did not get Pamela Isley. So I don't know what's going on there, and I guess neither do they. But, you know, still, there's a lot of, you know, people we've gotten so far that are just very, very interesting and really cool. And I'm just a huge fan of Zaz. So seeing Zaz, you know, do his thing is just brilliant. You know, to show, because it's just why just say, like, and we're going to have a hitman. It's just going to be like, I mean, we thought Zaz was going to appear, I think, a couple episodes back, but no, they were just saving it for this season, you know, mid-season finale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just the way he made his grand entrance. He just walks right onto the cop's desk. My name is Victor Zaz. I am here for Jim Gordon. It's like, oh my God.
And then everyone, right, just if you play it cool, you'll all stay alive. And all they do is just look at the office. Like, thank you.
He just whispers, thank you.
Yeah, it was just, oh, man. I mean, you know, his entrance, how he was able to precisely kill. I mean, I will admit, he seems more of a nice guy to me. But, I mean, he is also a contract killer right now. So, I mean, I think it's more of he doesn't want to leave evidence. But, I guess, you know, in the future, he's more of a carve him up kind of guy. But at the same time, he even made some nice little some lines there where it's just alive is a broad term. Alive can mean many things. A man with no hands is alive. And I sat there and I thought, damn straight, Zaz. A man with no hands is alive. Cut off them hands. Like, I don't know why. I was like, wait a minute, Gordon's the enemy. Never mind. Keep Gordon alive in with hands. But anyway, yeah, it was just, and also the idea that he actually got two good shots to Gordon, which made me, it was really funny, because anyone who doesn't know about Batman might sit there and think, is Gordon going to die? And for many of us who do know that he's not, it does take the suspense out of it. But at the same time, they really wanted to make you believe, like, this man has been shot twice. So, I mean, he could, in theory, die. Penguin could become Gordon. Think about this one. Because I sat there and I was like, he got shot twice. That's pretty bad. But yeah, and then thankfully they realized because of Penguin showing up, though I love how much, like, Penguin shows up in front of the cops, right? In a way, he does it to help Gordon. But then I like how he just immediately realizes, wait a minute, I'm a badass motherfucker. Just walking the streets of Gotham.
The whole not beginning of the episode, just the music to that whole walk sequence was perfect.
No, in my head, it's just like, you can tell me by the way I move my walk, I'm a moving thing. No time to talk. Like, it's just like, yeah, that's me. I'm Oswald. Who else but Oswald? It's like, you son of a bitch.
I mean, speaking of Oswald, I think he had the best scenes in this episode. I mean, his dad was great. But one of my all-time favorite scenes from this episode was probably right in the middle when he's leading, Maroni. There we go. He's leading Maroni's men to Falcone's, like, little cache of weapons to steal the money.
Mm-hmm.
And Maroni's guy is going to turn on Oswald, and he's just pointing. He goes, what do you stand for? And his guys grab him. I was like, what? He goes, you're too cheap with your man. I was like, oh, my God. Like, that whole sequence for me was amazing.
It was, because, I mean, you know, and it's crazy because it makes so much sense. Where, obviously, this has been talked about before, but I don't, you know, in the sense that it's not like the writers just created it. Obviously, it's something that has been, you know, said by, you know, his famous people in the past, but I can't pick them up off the top of my head. But I feel like that's something Sun Tzu would bring up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, because it's so accurate in a way where, like Anthony, right, you do custom figures, something that we'll talk about a bit later, but, you know, to promote you, shameless promotion. So you make custom figures. How would someone attack you with when that is your passion? They would cut off your hands.
I don't like where
now
the
I
conversation
love you.
Is going.
No. No, I love you, Anthony. I would never cut off your hands. No one would ever cut off your hands. I would hope. But the point is that, you know, it's not as if that was only appropriate to that scene is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like you look at Batman, or you look at Bruce Wayne, and how would you combat him in his passion? Well, the biggest hit to him, I think, would be by giving him a throat lozenge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you immediately throw a Ricola on his mouth, he will immediately just, I am the Batman. Oh, God, that's Bruce Wayne. It sounds just like him. So immediately, that is how you attack Batman's passion, by throwing throat lozenges into his mouth. Ricola, Halls, you know, all those stuff. Just throw them right into his mouth, and he will have to stop fighting crime because he sounds just like Bruce Wayne, oddly enough.
No,
definitely. But you're trying not to laugh so hard, and stop
so
it.
So much.
Just stop it. Just, you know, it's funny. Stop
it.
He's being an asshole because I mentioned the cutting off the hands comment. He's like, I'm not going to laugh at his jokes all night. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, bro. It's not going to happen. But yeah. So, seriously, though, no, that scene was brilliant because I didn't even know where the hell Penguin was getting at. Because the thing is, when he said, you have a problem, right, I thought he was trying to manipulate him to get him on his side.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like he did with, where it's like, the problem is that you don't stand for power. And in this city, you need to have power. So join me to go against Maroni, right? Like, I thought that's what he was going to do. And no, it's just, you know, the problem is that you're a cheapskate. And you don't pay your men enough. And I was like, sorry, Frank. And I was like, no.
I know.
I was like, because these writers, they're just really, really good. Where I feel really bad that they're working with Fox, because I assume they can't go and work on Arrow. Because I'll admit, I haven't seen Arrow in a month, and we will be doing some Arrow shows shortly this week. And, you know, and I'll be watching some of the, you know, some Arrow just to be able to do the shows. But I have to admit, you know, I haven't seen Arrow in a month. But from what we saw, you know, just of this season and a bit of last season, it wasn't bad. It's just, you know, you look at Gotham and you think, wow.
Yeah.
You know, someone really thought about this. So the point where it's like, you, I feel as if the writers, or at least, you know, the head writer, just had these scripts at his house. You know, and they said, hey, would you be able to write the series? Sure, why not? Or, hey, we're looking for someone to write Gotham. You know, I have this fan fiction, right? And, you know, not saying that fan fiction is always amazing, but still, it just really feels like it's from the heart, and it feels like it's just with passion, and someone, it doesn't seem like someone was paid to write this, where it's like, oh, fine, you know, I have to be paid. Now, not, again, not everyone is, you know, when they're paid, they just seem passionless, but still, it could have been bad, where it could have just been someone going, yeah, I guess I'll just make something up with these Batman people or whatever. But no, it just feels so well crafted.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just, oh, it's just so beautiful. So your favorite scene from this episode was what scene?
Just it was the scene with Penguin when
he was okay.
I don't remember the guy's name, but Maroni's guy, where he turned his men on him. I just love that whole sequence, the way
yeah,
it was
so that,
shot.
So that was your favorite scene, okay?
Absolutely.
I forgot if it was or not. Right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just the whole ending of that scene where he's, like, kissing the guy's head, rubbing the hair. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Because it's the – I think it's – even though I don't think he is Italian, I think it is the Italian thing. Because that is a very Italian thing to do.
Yeah, it really
is. I feel where it's just – yeah. But it's just – oh, man, it's just so beautiful, this episode. Mm. You know, I mean – and then, of course, the fact that Gordon was so close. I will admit a little bit disappointed that he was so close and then it didn't work and then Falcone kind of let him go. But
mm-hmm.
then the twist at the end.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Would I really,
yeah.
You know what's really weird? I think that the twist, I'm a little upset. My only complaint was that the twist was not done with the music from Saw. I think that the music from Saw would have been very, very fitting for the end of this episode, where it's just, you know, either the music from Saw or the music from Bleach, because, damn it, I think that Penguin is sitting there and he's trying to, you know, I think he's having mental chess battles with Aizen right now from Bleach, if anyone is familiar with Aizen. Everything always goes according to Aizen's plan, and apparently everything is going very, very, very according to Penguin's plan.
Mm.
Because, oh boy, Stitch for Falcone, oh boy. That was, because I think, I remember it alluding to it, sort of, I think, at one point where it's like, oh, like, is he going to tell him? But I thought it was kind of a, I'm not listening to you, you're still a snitch no matter what, let's kill you,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, if I remember correctly. So it
didn't
seem like, yeah, so, I mean, yeah, you could see that maybe Falcone did know, but it's been so long, because, you know, not only have I seen the first episode, but it has been about 2 months.
Just about.
So you're kind Yeah, so you're kind of led to believe that it's like, you know, even if Falcone knew something, you know, it's not like they're trying to portray him just yet anyway. But it was getting, but I love fish, where it's just Falcone knows something. Playing with chickens? No. What about the girl? Maybe she's making him happy. She hasn't touched the girl. Like, she just cooks and cleans for him. Like, this is getting pretty weird. It's as if Falcone is only keeping her at, like, arm's length, where she's like, where do I sleep? You sleep in this other room that's in my house. Oh, okay, thank you, Mr. Falcone. Damn straight, thank you, Mr. Falcone. Like,
I will be locking the door every night. Don't panic, it's perfectly fine.
I think the only weird thing, I think, in my opinion, that seems, because I feel as if he's trying not to either be in love with her or that he's not trying to, you know, be with her to get her into his, you know, intimate moments. And in my head, it's always, oh, because killing. But even then, he lets her cook for him, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's the weird thing, where, like, I assume maybe it's, like, because I'm wondering, like, why he, like, hey, maybe he doesn't want to be with her because she reminds him too much of his mother, which could be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he's a bit old, so, you know, I mean, maybe he doesn't think everything works well, which is kind of, or maybe, again, according to the, I believe, Russian guy, that, you know, that could be his thing, which was really funny, where I was like,
yeah.
No, because in my head, it's like, what if it is his thing? Cook for me, clean for me. Anything else? Nope. Okay. Like,
why
you
is
know,
that camera on? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Sometimes, just like he just whispers to her. Sometimes when you're not cooking and cleaning, I want to watch it. But by the way, we're not making fun of anyone who may actually have that as their thing. Hey, yeah, good for you. But in this case, I think you can see the comedy in it, where it's just, you know, It's such a situation where, you know, especially how everything ended up. It's just like, this is beautiful. This is just beautiful. And also, something very interesting, too. The fact that Falcone was not bluffing. Wasn't that kind of interesting? Where it's just like, you know, it's like Falcone does not bluff. The man was right. You know, the man said, hey, listen, I'm not lying. We have your girlfriend. I was going to say wife.
Harvey
not yet.
Bullock, the entire time, Jim, this is pathetic. You fell for his bluff. Whoa, he wasn't bluffing.
It's like, okay, maybe, okay, so he was right. I like that. It's like, Jim, bluffing. Correct. Like, it was great. Because it's so true. It's such an age-old tactic that I think we all believed that he was bluffing. Until we saw Zaz and Barbara. And Zaz was like, it's a shame. But I guess because she was cooking, it was in a different room of their house. Because for me, it felt like an undisclosed location. And then, there's Zaz. And I was like, wait, that's too close. But yeah, he wasn't bluffing. And then, you know, and he let him go. Which I'm happy they brought that twist immediately, which really also makes me think that they only planned 16 episodes. But I'm happy they brought the twist out immediately, because if they didn't, it would have seemed very dumb, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just think that me sitting there and just, you know, just, well, I could kill you, but I'm actually letting you go. I would have been like, that's just for the plot. Like, when I even first heard it, I was like, okay, I know we have to continue this, but... And you could say, oh, it's because of his father. But even then, to a certain degree, I feel like Falcone would have said, nope, this is a problem for operation. But when you have Penguin here saying, actually, sir, here's why this would work, you sit there and you go, oh, wait a minute. Actually, you know what? I mean, with everything that Penguin has done so far, I mean, hell, you can give that guy anything. Honestly.
Pretty much.
Like, if Penguin did all that for me, and made me realize, like, wow, this is literally how it's going to go. While I could be worried that you are a snitch, I will admit that's a true, like, that's a fact. Like, I could be worried that you're a snitch. At the same time, it's just me sitting there going, but you have done so much for me already that even if, you know, as of right now, you are a huge asset and you could be elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the thing. If Falcone said no, right? It's just there's so much that could have happened. I mean, you know, Gordon wouldn't have done it anyway. Let's say it was Gordon. Because in general, it fit very well, where it's just this is an initiation for Gordon. So Gordon tries to kill him, doesn't work, and then what? He ends up going to Maroni? That would have been horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still like that Penguin killed that guy anyway. Even though he's working with Falcone, I like that he killed Maroni because Penguin, you know, is just leading his way everywhere. Now, I wonder how he gets rid of Falcone. That's what confuses me. Because I don't think he's going to be the one to kill Falcone. I think somehow Mooney's going to do it, especially with the previews showing him meeting with Mooney.
Yeah, I have a weird feeling that's going to happen there.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, but it's just so, so, so interesting. I mean, overall, I mean, I can just, like, this, out of the three shows thus far, and I know, again, I haven't been caught up, so it's probably more on me, but still, out of three shows thus far, Gotham, Flash, and Arrow, I'm going for Gotham.
I gotta say, personally, I'm one episode behind for Arrow and Flash, but it's easily Gotham for me.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, maybe I'll be a bit wrong because Flash was entertaining. It wasn't like it was bad. And Arrow, I've seen some of the synopses for newer episodes, and they seem fun from the very little that I remember. But, I mean, just Gotham right now is blowing it out of the park, hitting it out of the park, rather, blowing everything away. And I'm a little worried about the later seasons. But as of right now, let's party, everybody. Yay, party. I'm dancing. No one can see it because we're on the radio. But anyway, so, Anthony, tell everyone about the kit bashing that you do. Now that we're done with the show, hey, guys, we're done with the show. I'm waving again. None of you can see. Anthony, tell everyone about kit bashing and about the custom figures that you make.
Okay. Well, I have this Instagram called Geek4LifeBlog, the number 4. And basically, what you can see on there are custom figures that I make myself. There are a few different options as to how to do them. One is just a simple repaint of an existing one. One is kit bashing, and that's a bit more involved. What you would basically do is, let's say you want a TV show accurate Gotham Penguin, and you would need certain figure parts to do this, but they're not all on the same figure. I could get all the parts needed, disassemble each figure, reassemble the parts and the pieces and the way that you need them done, repaint them, and that, in a sense, is kit bashing.
Right. And yes. So that is on Geek for Life blog?
Yes, Geek for Life blog, the number four.
Right.
That is the Instagram.
Okay. That is the Instagram. And then you also have yourself, you also review figures on your
yes.
YouTube?
Okay. On my YouTube, I do review figures. It's the name of the channel is Tony L, TONI-EL. And there's also a blog called figuresandgeeks.blogspot.com. That will be reviews of the same things I review on YouTube, as well as movies, TV shows, anything comic book or pop culture related, as well as updates on upcoming shows from you and me.
Right. Okay. And so you have those two things, which are awesome, by the way. And, you know, and definitely check out some of his work, because I might be buying a figure from him, because I've looked at his work and it's some beautiful, beautiful stuff. And of course, you know, if you he said about his Instagram, PM him for information, because of course he doesn't have prices listed just yet, but you can see his figures on the Instagram, and by God, they're wonderful. Yes, well, I mean, I wouldn't, even though he's on the show, everyone, I wouldn't be building him up if he wasn't good. Don't worry.
Well, there was a threat against my hands earlier. I fear the worst.
I'm so sad. It's not me that'll do it. It's me, Victor Zaz. Unless you make me a really cool figure. Why am I sounding like the Joker? Oh, it's starting to really get into Joker territory there. But anyway, before we leave, I'd like to thank you guys for listening to those guys, and I would also like to say that we have ourselves a Tumblr, which is also acts as our website, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com, which we just got actually a new theme for, making it look very, very, very sexy, made by our own contributor Blaine, who doesn't really work with us on the show so much as our Maddie, our fact checker, who's also a wonderful human being. But Blaine helped us make this theme, and it looks so, so wonderful. So we have our thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com, where you can check out our older archived shows. You know, think WWE, WWE pay-per-views, Bleach, Dragon Ball Z, Gotham, Arrow, Flash, the following, actually, last season finale, Gravity Falls, Steven Universe, a Black Dynamite, a whole bunch of stuff. You can also check them out through our Facebook, /thoseguysontheradio, or you can just search up Those Guys. You can check that out through our Twitter, Those Guys Radio. Right now, our name is Hillbilly Jim because of a joke that I made on a Monday Night Raw podcast. Thank you, Maddie, for changing it. She doesn't listen to the show, but one day she will, and she'll think, oh, because I'm going to try and get her into the show. She'll think, oh, he's mentioning me. What do I do? But anyway, so, yes. Let me think what else. Oh, we have ourselves a Gmail. Thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. So definitely check that out. Why? Why check out a Gmail? Well, because you can suggest show ideas to us. Anything you want us to do that we could possibly do, you can send it to thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. Also, you can ask us to promote any of your legal products and your legal companies through our Gmail, and we'll discuss it, and we will most likely do it or not. I don't know. You should totally email us, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. And if you got into our Pokemon giveaway, free Pokemon shiny giveaway for the month of October, and you're wondering, I didn't get my Pokemon yet. Well, don't worry. The Twitter winners will be contacted shortly, either today or tomorrow. And through Facebook, one of our posts disappeared. I made a new one just in the middle of last month, and no one has shared it. They have liked the page, but we don't know who liked the page out of liking or though who liked the page out of shiny Pokemon giveaway thing. So you have to like the page and share the new post that we made in the middle of last month. As of right now, we have no winners. We have zero winners. So if we don't have any winners by next Sunday, the two Pokemon that will be going to Facebook, one will be going to a randomly selected Tumblr person, and another will be going to a randomly selected Twitter person. So get in on the Facebook action. You know, /thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. No, that's the wrong one. I think I'm promoting too many social media, Anthony. Those guys on the radio and the slash before it, or just search up those guys for our Facebook. We have social media is just getting crazy. There's tweeters and there's face spaces and there's what is there's so much stuff I can't even. I'm just gonna play the ending. I don't even know what's happening here. I'm tumbling over my words.